When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Oregon hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps and also a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Thank you so much to Dylan and Kyle, coming out of Vancouver, British Columbia. Really, really appreciate you guys. Thank you for once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. Minnesota Wild continue to play pretty good. At the end of the day, in three games, they meatloafed it. 2-1. Not bad. Another good, strong week for the Minnesota Wild, at least for the most part. The Dallas game wasn't so great, but looks like the better team won and this and that. But, well, that's the crappy part. It's kind of like a reality check, and hopefully Minnesota can at some point improve and be actually better than the Dallas Stars. I had a feeling it actually could have been a pretty tough week considering you had Dallas, St. Louis, teams like that, and of course even Tampa, but the Wild always do well against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is great. Just get to the Stanley Cup Finals and do that. That'd be great, but yeah, we'll get back to that. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, if we ever do, but I hope we do someday. Three games to preview. Yeah, basically same thing. Dallas Stars on the 29th of December. I hope all of you had a good new year. Welcome to 2023 or 2023 or whatever year it is. Really appreciate you very much. I'm going to try my butt off to not babble my head off because fan interaction is going to be massive today, which is a good thing, which is an absolutely good thing. So I'll try not to babble too much in these first two segments if I can. So it's not the easiest thing to do. But again, you know, you don't want the show to be too long. And plus, I only have so much time to do it in the first place. So got NHL Network in the background. Apparently, Jackie Redmond. Not bad. Anyhow, the Wild lose to the Dallas Stars 4-1 in Dallas, and actually at home. This was a home game. Not the best situation for Minnesota at the end of the day. I don't know. It's becoming a worse and worse matchup for the Wild. Guys like Jamie Benn and such are playing better than they were last year. Tyler Seguin had 2 goals in the game. Jamie Benn had 1. Robertson finally didn't score a goal. So, yes, the Minnesota Wild prevent Robertson from scoring. But unfortunately, they still lose the game. Yeah, so it is what it is. Kirill Kaprizov had the only goal. It was an absolute beauty. Flipped it kind of from behind the net. Kind of sort of like angled a bit. I don't even know what the angle would be. 80-degree angle, whatever the heck it would be. From behind the net, I was able to put it on Jake Oettinger's back. That's the only way to get a goal past the guy, at least in this game. But it was a beauty. Just perfectly timed, angled, everything. So that was an awesome goal by Kaprizov, showing the skill there. Marc-Andre Fleury would face 42 shots. The Stars were just better, basically. They had the puck more, you know, this and that, the puck possession and all that. And they simply outplayed the Wild pretty much from start to finish, I'd have to say. The Wild had some moments and all that, a few scoring chances, but it just wasn't the Wild's day. John Merrill did get credited with an assist. Otherwise, Tyler Seguin scored on the power play, Wyatt Johnson, and then Jamie Benn on the power play. So the Wild penalty kill, not the prettiest thing ever. It hasn't really been most of the season, unfortunately. And then Seguin was able to get an empty netter late, his 9th goal of the year. 8th and 9th goal for him. Jamie Benn is 15th on the poor play, unfortunately. And I don't know. The Stars just kind of outplayed the Wild. They just did. They look like the better team. And I don't know. Every time you think the Stars are old, washed up, or whatever, and with a few young players, the few young players step up, and then the older veterans step up as well. So that's Dallas. They got to the final just a couple of years ago. Who knows? Maybe they'll be back in the final again this year. Not predicting them to win it all or anything crazy like that, but I don't know. You never know. Yeah, Canada and the USA, right? yeah. Anyhow, we'll keep going. Yeah. It kind of figures, doesn't it? Well, yeah, frick. Anyhow. Oh, it's like, yeah, then again, what do I know? Minnesota beat the St. Louis Blues 5-2. Minnesota beat the St. Louis Blues 5-2 in a game in St. Louis. A lot of us that have been, you know, that have been paranoid or unhappy with the Wild's play versus St. Louis, pretty much were like, okay, show me, you know, step up and get the job done. Finally win a game versus the St. Louis Blues, especially in St. Louis. Why not? I mean, they're out of the playoff picture at the moment. Take advantage, get the win, and the Wild did this time around, a 5-2 victory in San Luis. Matt Dumba, who was caught sleeping against Tampa, but was able to rifle run in off a Zuccarello pass, a well-timed pass, and a quick release by Matt Dumba out there for his 4th goal of the year. Sam Steele would get the 2nd assist. Hartman, though, a couple of goals in the game, which ultimately were one of them would be the game winner. The 2nd one, unassisted, getting the puck away and scoring. Hartman had a very, very strong game against the St. Louis Blues, when a lot of us were kind of like, yeah, he's not been good. And, yeah, he's not been good. And generally speaking, up until this game, like kind of up and down, he'd have some moments. Some people say, I guess there's a debate nowadays about which one is more worthy to keep, Steele or Hartman. I'm not sure. I guess Steele at the moment. I'm guessing Sam Steele at the moment. He's a little younger, and that does help. But both of them, honest to God, are a bargain at their current price. So there's no doubt about that, as you come back and forth of that. So it's like, you don't want to be any rush to trade anyone. Sam Steele's not even making $1 million a year, but he's a restricted free agent with the with the hammer in the offseason. So we'll see how much he's going to demand. Only 24 years of age. Mason Shaw, same thing, same age and making a little less. And you know what I mean? The old restricted free agent with the hammer. Yeah, you know, arbitration eligible. Ryan Hartman, he's actually on the final year of his I'm not looking at the right person. I apologize. That's Ryan Reeves, the other Ryan. Ryan Hartman, 1.7 with 2 years remaining. Yep, and that's what I thought. I was like, wait a minute. He's got a year left, doesn't he? So, I mean, it's a bargain. It's a bargain of a deal. You should be able to get good value if you want it. But again, as we head into salary cap hell, that's sort of what you want. People on a bargain. Yeah, it's the U.S. lost 6-2, and yeah, sucks. It sucks. 6-2 to Canada. Canada's just, God, all the time, but it is what it is. That was the semifinal. So, yeah, crap. Anyhow, well, we've won before. Canada wins too much, especially in the Olympics. It's like every single year. Kind of is what it is. But we'll move from that. Again, a nice, fun game versus the St. Louis Blues. The Minnesota Wild showed up to play. Bennington wasn't so hot, and that's good. The Wild wind up with 5 goals. Last one was an empty netter by Jordan Greenway, where he looked like he hurt himself a little bit as he was kind of reaching for the puck. I don't know, maybe like ankle a little bit or something. Spurgeon was able to get the assist on it. Again, kind of getting the puck into Greenway's area. Greenway able to finish close to the net. Again, kind of reaching with his long arms and all that, his long body. Getting his 2nd goal of the year. Only 2 goals all season for Jordan Greenway. And it had to be on an empty netter. But, oh well. You know, I mean, we're happy that Jordan Greenway was able to finish in a very, very... a very, very uplifting victory for the Minnesota Wild. And again, it's nice to see Ryan Hartman being a factor again, scoring a goal and scoring a couple of goals. And Jordan Greenway actually did have 2 points on the night, also added an assist. So again, a nice, solid, you know, feel-good type of victory for the Minnesota Wild. Spurgeon got his 5th goal along the way. Eck was able to get an assist. And Zuccarello always gets a point every single night. Zuccarello is going to factor in the scoring one way or another. He's had 40 points on the season in 37 games, pardon me. Even has 16 goals, which is second on the team. Zuccarello, 16 goals, second on the team. Pretty amazing. Eriksson Ek still on pace for a career high, and Matt Boldy right there with him. Same exact numbers, pretty much, except one more assist and one less goal, which is kind of weird. But, oh well. It's again nice to see Eriksson Ek getting assists again. As for a while there, he was getting more goals than assists. Was Eriksson Ek. So, I mean, you figure he'd have a few more assists than he had before. Addison's now at 19 points. He continues to be a huge factor. He's the fifth leading scorer in the entire Minnesota Wild. Actually, Spurgeon, too. He's having a pretty nice year offensively, considering. 14 assists to go with his 5 goals. Jared Spurgeon at 19 points. He'd had some quiet years offensively. Almost just kind of staying back. But then again, I guess he did have 40 points last year. So that was the first year where he kind of really got going again. 43 points back in 18-19. And then he was like 32, 25, stuff like that. But again, obviously shortened seasons and such. So that has to be a factor. But only 65 games last year and 40 points for Spurgeon. So that definitely counts for something. That's pretty productive. So might have had 45, 50 if he played a full season. Spurgeon, again, multi-point game for him against the St. Louis Blues. Just the Wild, just kind of, other than the opening goal about midway through the first period, or early in the first period, actually, about 6 minutes in, you kind of had a feeling like, here we go again. St. Louis is going to beat us. And then it just kind of, the tide just kind of turned, and the Minnesota Wild got the job done. I'm bouncing everywhere here. Marc-Andre Fleury faced 29 shots and was able to stop, obviously. Well, faced 31 shots and was able to stop 29. The Wild put 31 on Binnington as well. And Binnington just wasn't as good as Marc-Andre Fleury. He hasn't been good most of the season. And again, last year he wasn't all that great either. That's why, Husso was the starting goalie in the postseason, and he was damn good all year. The Wild had solved him, and then Binnington ended up being a hero and helping beat the Wild. But after that, St. Louis didn't do a whole lot. The Binnington magic has faded. The shine has come off of Jordan Binnington, it's safe to say. We'll move on now to the Tampa Bay Lightning game, which was, again, another really nice game for the Minnesota Wild that had us all feeling great. The first game of 2023 had to wait 4 days to get there, but we got there, and the Wild beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-1. Very, very nice win for Minnesota in XL Energy Center. No Vasilevskiy, it's Brian Elliott, who would give up 4 goals and 32 shots. Philip Gustafson was outstanding, as those might say. He faced a lot of shots, 35. The Braden Point goal was extremely frustrating. It dropped a JC bomb from Dean Evason. Matt Dumba was pretty much caught standing there, pretty much. It's like Point was just kind of rolling in from the point. He was just kind of coming in and ended up getting a shot pretty darn close to the net without any real resistance from Matt Dumba or anybody else. It was just kind of like, sure, it was kind of bang, bang and all that, like a quick player. But Dumba completely was caught sleeping. You could tell that Evason was frustrated. I don't mean to be a Dumba basher, but sometimes, obviously, he's pretty mediocre at times. He gets caught sleeping a lot, and heck, we just talked about Spurgeon with his 19 points. Kalen Addison, 19 points. Dumba, how many? 10. So, again, defense, not that great. Offense, not that great. Nothing to brag about. And he's played in all 37 games, knock on wood, just like Spurgeon. And Addison missed one. He was actually scratched in that game. So, it's crazy to think. Addison and Spurgeon both leading the Wild defensemen in scoring. Heck, John Merrill is just 2 points behind Dumba, but, well, he's missed 4 games, not that many. Obviously, starting out the season, Merrill's been good in terms of staying healthy. Middleton's obviously the big physical guy. Gosh, Greenway only 5 points in 21 games. But Brandon DeHaim, what the heck happened? Jeez. Seemed like he's been out forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And Brodin's not been an offensive guy at all this year, which is kind of strange as well, because we saw some... We saw that he has a little bit of scoring touch before, particularly you put him on the power play, but I don't know. It is what it is. When you have Kalen Addison on the power play, you feel a lot better, I think. And then Spurgeon obviously brings a ton of value as well. Can do a little bit of everything. Hard to believe Spurgeon's actually 10 years older than Kalen Addison. Isn't that the darndest thing? So it's crazy to imagine. Guys like Shaw, Dewar, I don't know, they haven't They haven't factored in scoring in eons, it seems like. And Ryan Hartman's knocking on the door now. And 20 less games than Connor Dewar. It's kind of funny. But good for Hartman to get kind of back in the mix of things in the St. Louis game at the very least. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But a fun, fun game versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. Minnesota Wild went comfortably over a Tampa Bay team. Kirill Kaprizov, a couple goals. First one, a really nice redirect. I thought it was Spurgeon, right? It was Spurgeon. Was it? Nope, that was Boldy. What am I talking about? Of course it's Boldy. Yep, I remember now. Boldy was kind of putting the puck, well, he just kind of got it to Kaprizov, and it was a really quick one-time release on the power play. Awesome seeing those guys playing together. You just love when they're on the power play. And Kalen Addison there is his 16th assist of the year, getting it to Boldy in the first place. Both of them have 16 assists, which is kind of funny. But great one-timer to Kirill Kaprizov. Erickson Ek with a great, with a nice move off of Addison play, Addison pass, getting the puck and open the scoring in the game. The Wild would get up to 3-0. Again, Addison with a nice shot, strong shot, nice release on his shot to the 3-0 lead, and then point. That's when a lot of people were like, oh boy, don't let Tampa back in this game. We all know what they're capable of. Kucherov, by the way, with 41 assists now, which is just sick. 41 assists on the season. Hagel the Bagel with 16. I know, I had to say it. And Braden Belpedio point. Yes, Louis Belpedio. Braden point. We're going to think about that until, you know, hell freezes over, which is unfortunate. It is what it is. Kaprizov also getting the empty netter to wrap it up. And Sam Steele finishing. That's where the Spurgeon assist came in. Because I knew there was a play from Spurgeon. That was to Steele getting his 7th goal of the season. Again, is he this, you know, is he this valuable, super valuable player? Well, he's valuable. Is he, like, super good? No. People acting like, oh, he's so good. He's good. He's good. And that's kind of where I'll leave it. You know, I don't see Sam Steele as, like a legitimate top six type of guy. But what the heck? On this franchise where we've struggled at the center position forever and ever, well, he's doing a darn good job for the most part. So we appreciate what Sam Steele has provided, and we really appreciate what Ryan Hartman provided last season and hopefully in the future. With that said, again, for the sake of time, I better get moving. The Mike Madonna Award winner for this episode, probably not the easiest thing I ever saw, but last week it was Jared Spurgeon. I think he's a strong candidate again. It was Jared Spurgeon on the Minnesota Wild Global anyway. Maybe it should be Spurgeon. He's been so valuable. It's either Spurgeon or Kaprizov. But, you know, Kaprizov can get it almost any week. Obviously, again, he's had some great plays, but I'm going to go with Jared Spurgeon. He's been so good the past, you know, 2-3 weeks. He's been really stepping up his game. And it's like he's really been creeping up the scoring numbers, really, with now with 19 points. He's been climbing up the ladder here. So, and obviously the intangibles he brings that I always talk about. For the longest time, he was actually my favorite player on Minnesota. It's almost impossible to not say Kirill Kaprizov. So it kind of is what it is. Spurgeon, though, yeah. Jared Spurgeon will bring in the Mike Madonna Award winner for this week. The James Shepherd Memorial. I mean, it could be guys that haven't been scoring. It's all Ryan Reeves. He's terrible. No, he's not. There's one other thing about Gustafson at the end of the game, too. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of frustrating to see Shaw and Dewar not scoring anymore. It's sad. You know, Foligno has been pretty quiet as well, even though he provides the physicality and such. But I guess it's let the other guys get the job done. Like, Joel Eriksson Ek has really moved up. Boldy's value is what it is. So, but Foligno plays a forward position. You're hoping for some offense there. So it's a little frustrating. Dumba, that I don't know, he was caught sleeping. That was really frustrating. I don't want to bash and harp on Dumba, but at the same time, I mean, things like that can bug you a little bit. The Dallas game in general was yucky. I don't think I really have a definitive player right now to give it to. I don't know. I mean, maybe Mason Shaw for getting suspended in the first place. Or, you know, and it's sad, of course, also that Walker had a goal taken away versus the Stars because somebody was offside. So that's another major frustration. I don't really have a definitive player for that this week. So I'm going to probably, I don't know. It's going to kind of like be a committee, like Shaw, Dewar, for not, you know, for just not really factoring in the scoring at all. And I know their roles don't allow that at times. It kind of is what it is when you play a minimal role. It's hard to really score. it kind of is what it is. You're not really in opportunities all that much. So, and then Dumba, I don't know, he's frustrating at times as well, obviously, again. So it's kind of like a committee this week, and it's all kind of gentle. It's not a hard one. With that said, we'll take a quick break, and let's preview the games and keep moving. Back here on Brave the Wild, we got the three games to preview, but first let's hear from our sponsor, DraftKings, with the Hockey Podcast Network. Of course, hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Of course, that's the Hockey Podcast Network. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Welcome back to Brave Le Wild. Brave Le Wild, right? Okay, sorry. The Buffalo Sabres. All right. Cool to play the Buffalo Sabres. It's about time, right? It's about time. And this team has actually kind of plagued the Wild. I remember in the past, they used to be one of those teams like, let's get things right, you know, that we've been struggling. Oh, cool, we're playing Buffalo this week. That'll help. Thank God, that'll help. That'll get things going in the right direction. Well, we'll see. Injury situation, Middleton was out for Tuesday's game, and just, well, that's kind of old. And Marcus Foligno, that's old too. Why is it showing old stuff? How about the guys that actually are out? Like, you know, Brandon Duhame. Where's Brandon Duhame? Brandon, where are you, buddy? Owen Power, so you never know. No timetable for Power's return to the lineup, according to Bill Hupp of the Olean Times Herald. Nice. Who's the number one team in scoring in the National Hockey League? The Buffalo Sabres? Yeah. The Buffalo Sabres are the number one scoring team in the NHL. They've been playing pretty well. 19-15-2. At least they have a winning record. Yes, they have Tuck. They have Alex Tuck, of course, the trade for Jack Eichel with the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Goals against the Buffalo Sabres are 20th. Minnesota's 19th in goals and 6th in goals against. This is the season opener of the series and the season finale because it's the Eastern Conference Club. Will be an Xcel Energy Center on Jan 28th. That is the, wow, that's the 15-year anniversary for Brave the Wild. Well, not Brave the Wild, but for my podcasting career. 15 years. It was born as Paladino Live back on January 28th, 2008. Wow, 15 years ago already. Paladino Live, which I talked about the Minnesota Wild, Minnesota Timberwolves, Minnesota Vikings, and a little bit of Twins talk as well. I wanted to throw in stocks and maybe retro video games. So basically, guess what happened? Paladino Live split into several different shows, basically. Yeah, it did. Think about it. Every show I do now is a part of what Paladino Live used to be, or what was going to be in some cases. Hockey talk, Brave the Wild, NFL, or like the Vikings, Purple Mafia. Timberwolves, Timberwolves Explosion, some stocks, and maybe some mixed in opinions, freedom of thought. Yep, I don't really talk about stocks that much, but a little bit there. And retro video games, video game flashback. DuckTales came out recently, and let's just let the cat out of the bag now. Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past is the Super Nintendo game that is going to be reviewed on Video Game Flashback. I'm actually going to split it into three parts, and the third part will have the feedback section. Well, so the or feedback segment, basically. So basically the first part of the game, part one. Kind of the middle part, you could say part two, and the final stages and feedback will be part three. Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. So I'm going to release them maybe like a week apart what the heck, I'm going to release the first one. It's been done for a while. I was debating on what to do, make one big show or not, but then I'll release it. I'll release that one probably in the next day or two just to get that thing going. I wish it could all be just on one show, but it's too big. So I know it might be annoying to give you like a 4 or 5 hour episode. Imagine if Brave the Wild was 4 or 5 hours. 3 hours is probably the limit. Me and me and Derek Felska reached that last summer. That was a fun show. Man, it really was. The only shame was it was so beautiful outside. I wanted to get the heck out of the apartment, but we did a great show. So anyhow, back to the Buffalo Sabres. Apologize, but sorry. You're probably like, really, Joey? Really? You're going to get into that now? Yeah, it's all because I saw the 28th. So it's just crazy. Sorry. Buffalo Sabres, I am sorry. They had a game postponed versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. Then they defeated the Detroit Red Wings 6-3. Detroit's dropping off a bit. Boston's the best team in the league, and they lost 4-3 to Buffalo. Impressive. In Boston. Impressive. Buffalo then loses to Ottawa. That's just so... But I suppose New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, that's cruel. Really? Really, National Hockey League? How dare you do that to the Buffalo Sabres? That's mean. So that's kind of cruel. So I guess I could see that happening. Jeez. At Boston, at Ottawa. Wow. So it's no wonder they lost that one. And then they beat the Washington Capitals January the 3rd. Don't look now, but yeah. And Buffalo's looking good. And I like them. I like the Buffalo Sabres. Go Sabres. It's nice to see a team like Buffalo doing well. It really is. Number 2 power play in the National Hockey League. 12th for Minnesota. 25th penalty kill. So that's their weakness, you could say. And the Wilds is 14th. It felt like 32nd, though, the other day. Penalty minutes, the Wild are still 32nd. They can't stay out of the bleeping box. Come on, guys. Better discipline. Let's go. Buffalo, 7th. Just listen to this number. Are you ready? Minnesota Wild have... Okay, let's start with Buffalo first. 305 penalty minutes, right? For Buffalo. 7th in the league in terms of, like, least. Like, number 1 is the least, right? Minnesota Wild, 485.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Really? I mean, it's like not even on the same planet. Like, what is that? That's horrible. Next, Buffalo Sabres. Well, I mean, you want to believe the Wild can win this game? Craig Anderson's the goalie? Really? Craig Anderson's the goalie, huh? He's like my age. I'm 43. Craig Anderson, maybe he's a year younger. I can't remember. I remember he's really, really old. That's weird. Craig Anderson? 2.61 goals against average. Well, that's why they're not so great than that. I mean, they're, you know, I don't know. Buffalo hasn't had a good goalie since Darren Pupa. No, since Dominic Hasek. Darren Pupa was even before Dominic Hasek. I like that guy. He was good. Darren Pupa. Funniest name ever. Tage Thompson. What a stud. 30 goals. That is insane. It's like New Year week, basically. And he's got 30 goals. Jeez. Not to mention 25 assists. 55 frickin' points. Jeez. Alex Tuck, I think, yeah, that was last year that he missed a lot of time. This year he's been healthy, and wow, 42 points in 36 games. Alex Tuck is making that step forward to becoming a hell of a player. Obviously, Jeff Skinner having a renaissance. Remember him, Jeff Skinner, all those good seasons with Buffalo and such? 17 goals, 22 assists, 39 total points. Rasmus Dahlin continues to get better and better and better. Remember that guy who obviously was a very highly touted player and then kind of took forever to get better? Well, he looks freaking good now. 39 points in 35 games. Great offense. Yeah, who needs Jack Eichel when you have the best offense in the NHL, eh? So it kind of is what it is there. it's funny when you think about all that. Tage Thompson, yep, he was a St. Louis Blues pick. 26th pick. Proof you can get a really nice player late in the draft. Let's go, Liam. Let's go, Liam Ugrin. Let's go, Liam Ugrin. Somebody like that, Daniil Yurov, hopefully somebody like that ends up being like a Tage Thompson level offensive weapon. Maybe people are shaking their heads and laughing at me right now. Casey Mittelstadt finally kind of showing a pulse, obviously. The last couple of years, not so much. 7 goals, 13 assists, 20 points in 36 games. So he's headed in the right direction. Tyson Jost, well, he finally has 7 points now in 18 games. But he had like 1 point in 12. So that's some progress. All right, Tyson, keep it up, I guess. Kyle Oposo, the Gopher, sellout, whatever the heck you want to call him, 16 points. He had 6 goals and 10 assists in 29 games so far. Pardon me. Victor Olofsson, yeah, obviously he's had a decent career. 13 goals on the season. Good for him. This one feels kind of like a funny game. Does Buffalo have to play a back-to-back? No, they don't. Gosh, they don't play since Washington. So unless they're kind of rusty and all that, I got a feeling Buffalo's going to beat us. I got a feeling. They've had a good history against the Wild. They have, especially when they weren't real good. They'd magically beat us. So, yeah, it is what it is. I think the Buffalo Sabres beat the Wild. The one thing that could help, obviously, is the not-so-great goaltending. But Craig Anderson's been a pain in the butt for the Wild in the past. We've beaten him, and he's been mediocre as well. I don't know. They need a long-term solution at goal, and we'll talk about that some other time. But I think the Sabres beat the Wild, let's say, like 4-3, unfortunately. That's my guess. 4-3. I know Alex Tuch, there's a pretty good chance he's going to score against Minnesota. Thompson, obviously, is a threat to score any time. Man, they are an offensive force. Their defense is pretty mediocre. That's why it could be a high-scoring game, like 5-4, 5-3. Maybe Buffalo wins in like OT or something, or shootout. But maybe the Wild get a point out of this at least. But I do think Buffalo wins the game. Most likely guy to score for the Minnesota Wild is going to be Marcus Foligno, scoring in his hometown. Why the hell not, right? Marcus Foligno. Minnesota Wild will play the Blues again, the St. Louis Blues. In XL Energy Center, these are both ESPN Plus. The Buffalo game is on Saturday, right? Yep, so you got 2 more days off. Jeez. And then back-to-back, Saturday, Sunday. Going from time off to working overtime, right? I'm just teasing. St. Louis is 1 game above 500, 5th place in the Central Division. Ryan O'Reilly, he has been mediocre all season, and now he's on injured reserve, supposedly. Yeah, he's on injured reserve. Sometimes I don't trust his injury report because it's like, oh, he's out, and then, well, there he is, like Foligno, Logan Brown. But yeah, apparently Ryan O'Reilly, injured reserve on Jan 2nd. Logan Brown, an injury in practice and will miss the Blues' upcoming road trip, according to Jim Thomas of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. So we will not see Logan Brown against Minnesota. Vlad Tarasenko, injured reserve as of New Year's Eve. Yeah, so that was against Minnesota. Yeah, yep. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to talk about Gustafsson. It looked like he got hurt at the last minute, basically, or last couple minutes against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Apparently, according to Dean Evason, you probably heard this already, but in case you didn't, that he went to the locker room and puked his guts out, or his brains out, or whatever the word. That's what he said. It sounds like guts rather than brains, but hopefully he's okay. I don't know. Maybe he was suddenly sick or something. Who knows? But I'm not sure what would cause that or what the heck. Hopefully there's nothing serious. But apparently it's not really an injury. He just had to throw up. I don't know. Don't know what the reason was. So we'll find out, I guess. Nasty. St. Louis Blues out of the playoffs right now. 22nd in goals. 25th in goals against. Power play is 13th. Penalty kill is 29th. Again, take advantage of that. The Wild's power play is 12th, which is pretty decent. They're the best team in the league in not getting penalties, and the Wild are the worst team in the league in getting penalties. Yeah, so they stink at getting penalties. It's almost double, basically. The Wild have almost double the penalty minutes that the St. Louis Blues have, so interesting. That's kind of weird. You know, St. Louis historically is a physical, nasty team, but not so much anymore. We'll have to wait and see how things go here. This is game 2 of the 4-game season series, January the 8th on Sunday, March 15th, Wednesday in St. Louis, and then wrap up the season series in Minnesota, St. Paul anyway, April the 8th on a Saturday, when the weather should be significantly nicer than it's been the last couple weeks here. Either super cold or super snowy or both. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's a candy coating of snow everywhere as I look out the window to my right here, which would be east. Here in Golden Valley. Yeah, it's really pretty and everything, and the sun's finally coming out, thank God. Oh, gosh. The sun is just choking to get through the dang clouds that last, like, forever. But, oh well, it's the darkest time of year, and finally we're going to break through that as we're now in early January. Usually things change. St. Louis is 2-3 in their last 5. losing to the Golden Knights 5-4, losing to Toronto 5-4. That's funny. Four days off in between, or 3 days off, whatever. Chicago, they beat the Blues. Classic rivalry. Blues and Blackhawks. Classic. Classic. 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever the heck it is. 2000, whatever. Classic. Oh, Chicago, St. Louis, yep. Lost to Minnesota, of course, 5-2. And then Toronto, they beat Toronto in Toronto on January the 3rd. 6-5. Well, all right. Hopefully the Wild can beat the Blues 6-5 or something. Or 4-2 or 4-3. I'm going to pick a 4-2 win for the Minnesota Wild versus the St. Louis Blues. The most likely guy to score in the game will be Matt Boldy. Matt Boldy continue to score, light the lamps up, and the Wild defeat the St. Louis Blues to take a 2-0 series lead, guaranteeing at least a split, in my opinion. Maybe the Blues get a point out of it. Jordan Binnington's averaging like 3.25 on the season in goals against. Save percentage 89, but he's got 2 shutouts, which again spells inconsistent. Thomas Greiss has been not good. 3.55 goals against, and of course no shutouts, but a better save percentage of about 90. Jordan Kyrou's been the best player on the Blues. It's plain and simple. Other than Robert Thomas's 26 assists, Jordan Kyrou is leading the club in pretty much everything else. Okay, Braden Shen's got 21 assists also. Good for him. 18 goals, 19 assists, 37 points in 35 games. Really love what Kyrou has done for the Blues. And, yeah, good for him, obviously. Ryan O'Reilly's out for, apparently he's on injured reserve. We'll see what happens there. 10 goals, 6 assists on the season and only in 37 games. That's not an only. And he's a minus 28. Ryan O'Reilly's fallen off the face of the earth, if you're a Blues fan anyway. Tarasenko, it's good, but not great. He's on pace. He's basically got Boldy numbers, which again, good but not great. It is what it is. Just kind of like a good winger, a top six winger, but not like this superstar like a Kirill Kaprizov, or even what Kyrou is doing. Like that next level in between. Tyler Pitlick, Minnesota ties, of course, 1 goal, 1 assist, and the other Minnesota tie is Nick Leddy with 11 assists in 38 games. At least he's playing, and playing all the time. But not major production for him. The Wild do win and defeat the Blues. I had the Wild losing to Buffalo, right? New York Rangers. Oh, crap. Not the Rangers. Yeah, this could be... we might get Meatloaf this week. I think we are. I think so. I think both of the New York games... Why did they do this, anyway? Well, I go from the... Buffalo... That is the schedule, right? Buffalo, New York. Yeah, Buffalo, New York to St. Louis to New York City, basically. What for? Come on, have mercy. That's too much travel. What are you doing? And then at least we stay for a New York two-step to play the New York Islanders coming up. That's Thursday, though, right? Yeah, so that'll be on next week's show. New York Islanders, classic. And, yeah, they're doing okay. 21-15, certainly better than last year. Jeez. The Rangers destroyed the Wild in the season opener. Let's not forget that. 7-3. Oh, God. That was an awful game. It was like, all right, here we go. Yay. Well, at least hockey season's back. We only gave up 7 goals. It's okay. It's just 7 goals. It's only going to happen once. Flush the game. Oh, it happened again. Yeah. It was an awful start to the season. It really was. 3-2 in their last 5. That pretty much sounds like the Rangers, doesn't it? They're good, but not great. That sounds like what they've been lately anyway. They're always going to be a threat, of course, and they should be. But they did get to the East Final, right? So they're a threat. They beat their cross-town rivals, the New York Islanders, 5-3 on December 22nd. Got shut out by the Washington Capitals. Wow. Did Darcy do that one? 4-0. In New York, by the way. Lost to Tampa, who, again, that sounds familiar. Boy, I bet New York in general, New York hockey hates Tampa, right? Because they knocked the Islanders out, and then they knocked the Rangers out of the East Final. Ouch. Yep. Anyhow, the Rangers beat Florida 5-3. We don't hear about Florida as much this year, do we? It's because Andrew Brunette's not coaching them. That's why, dang it. Carolina Panthers, Hurricanes, whatever they are, 5-3 victory for the Rangers. So they've won a couple in a row at the very least. I don't like this matchup at all. I don't. Right, whether Ryan Reeves is on the Rangers or on the Minnesota Wild, I don't like the matchup. Maybe Ryan Reeves here will bring us better luck, versus over there. Rangers are 12th in goals, 19th in goals against, or 9th in goals against, 11th in the power play, 12th in the penalty kill, 10th in penalty minutes. So those are all kind of good numbers, like upper third or so of the league. But nothing there's nothing about them that stands out like, whoa, you know, superior power play. Oh, wow, their penalty kills, unbelievable. You get the point. Shishkatin is a stud, absolute stud of a goaltender. Shishkatin, even Halak is a nice backup. His numbers haven't been good. He was better with Boston, I'd have to say. He was better with Boston. He really was. Shesterkin. I hope I'm saying it correctly this time. I've screwed it up a million times, and I deeply apologize to any fan that is, like, irritated or I don't think I'm a dummy who doesn't know anything. He is 18-6 on the season, 2.43 goals against average, 9.17 save percentage. Adam Fox, the king of assists with 7 goals and 31 assists. But actually, no, Panarin's the king of assists. He's got 33 to go with his 11 goals, 44 total points. And I always have a trouble with Mika Zibanejad. I always mispronounce his name. I'm just like Sid Hartman, aren't I? And I apologize. 19 goals on the season. He's been a killer for the Wild. Capo Caco, kind of slow out of the gate. Lafreniere, slow out of the gate, obviously. They're still kind of like the guys in New Jersey. It took them a little while, but once they got going, whoa. They just took off like a rocket. So, I mean, that could be what'll happen with the Rangers. And obviously you got the young goalie, you still have Panarin and Zibanejad. I apologize. Adam Fox, guys like that, even Vincent Trocheck. Man, nice veterans. And then you get some of the young guys to go along with that great goaltender. The Rangers could win a Stanley Cup in the next 2 to 3 years. They could. That's my guess. They could. Doesn't mean they will, but they could. You might see a New York Rangers and New Jersey Devils Eastern Conference Final one of these days. Could happen. It used to happen. It did. It used to happen, remember? Early 90s, anyway. At least it happened once. Great New Jersey team versus a better New York team in 94. I wasn't all that excited to see the Rangers win the Stanley Cup. I would have loved to see Vancouver win that one. Yeah, that's when their uniforms were freaking awesome. I don't know. Something about, I don't know. I like the Islanders more. You can probably kind of tell by listening to this show the last X amount of years. Just like 1 year, you'll know. Like, I like the Islanders more. And I just let the cat out of the bag anyway. So, I just, you know, you just pick one of the two. That's how it works. The Jets and the Giants. It kind of, you know, whatever. Cubs and White Sox. I could go on all day with that. New York and Montreal. That just sounds like a classic matchup from way back in the day, doesn't it? Could be any time, basically. Original six, baby. I think the Rangers beat the Wild, unfortunately. I think so. 3-2. I think they beat the Wild 3-2, 2-1, 2-2 with the overtime type of situation. 2-2 with an overtime situation. We'll go with that. The Rangers beat the Wild. The Wild squeak out a point versus the Rangers. Because the Rangers aren't great, but I just think they'll beat the Wild. Especially this one's in New York this time. Most likely guy to score in the game is Kirill the Thrill. Kirill the Thrill will score against the New York Rangers, but I think the Rangers beat the Wild. The Wild gets something along the likes of maybe 3 out of 6 points this week. Maybe you get, 3 out of 6 points. I hope I'm wrong. Hopefully the Wild at least meatloaf it. You know, two out of three, you know, ain't bad. That kind of thing. That's kind of what the Rangers are. They're a 2 out of 3 type of team. And I don't know. I don't like the way things went with this club earlier in the year. I'd love to see the Wild get revenge, but I don't know. In New York, I don't know, man. I don't know. Minnesota going east usually isn't the best, but occasionally it is. Rangers win, though, regardless. But the Wild, I think, at least squeak out a point versus one of the two New York teams, the Buffalo, New York, or the Rangers. They will squeak out a point with one of the two. So the Wild get at least half of the points available this week. With that said, let's get to the prospects post-haste and jump on that right now. Apologize if I'm sounding a little funky here. Pardon me. World Junior this, prospect that. This guy does this, that guy does that. I apologize. Liam Ugrin, let's open up with him. Enough ads, please. it's like 6 ads now in like 10 seconds. Anyhow, I apologize. Really apologize for that. Liam Ugrin. Yep, in the for the World Junior Classic, he only had 1 goal in 6 games. But it is what it is, and of course he had 14 points in 26 games in his actual regular season there. But one goal in six games. At least he scored one for Sweden. Let's keep moving here. Danila Yurov. Yes, that's right. MHL, 9 points in eight games. Very productive. And again, I keep calling it this, but in case you're a new listener, it's the AHL of the KHL. Does that make sense? Like, you know what I mean? The KHL is Russia's NHL. Yeah. And the MHL is Russia's AHL. But more than a point a game there. So that's a really good sign. That's a step forward. So deserves a little hand, of course. And again, that 9 points in 43 games is a hell of a lot better than 0 points in 21 last year at the pro level. Now, to be fair, for the same MHL club last year, Yurov did have 36 points in 23 games. So he's actually, in a sense, he's kind of sort of a step behind in the MHL. Maybe he's frustrated and annoyed and taking his lumps, but he was off to a mediocre start there. Hopefully he'll pick it up now, take off. And again, the fact that he has been scoring points in the KHL is a wonderful thing at the very least. Continue, right? If humanly possible. Again, let's look at some of the World Junior Classic players. Jack Pert, love what he's done, obviously. World Junior Classics, two assists in four games, and 15 points for St. Cloud State University, two goals, 13 assists in 18 games. Good for him. I'm looking at the wrong... I'm so sorry. He played in the World Junior Classics last year, too. Three assists in six games this year as the USA got to the semifinal. Three assists in six games. That's what I thought. I'm like, that ain't right. Nope. I thought he had 3 points. So, apologize for my ignorance there. That's Joey for you, right? I do apologize. Obviously, it's more the Czechia and Slovakia guy that have been doing super well in the World Junior Classics for the Minnesota prospects. It's been a wonderful thing so far for those guys. Apologize, I'm backing up here. So I thought I was. Bankier for Canada. If it's going to load. Really love what he's been able to do, generally speaking. But unfortunately, only one point. Did I say he was going to be the biggest factor in the tournament? Sorry, that's bad. Yeah, boy, I was off. Only one assist in six games. But it is what it is. 33 points for Kamloops in 24 games. 20 of them goals. So definitely been a goal scorer for Kamloops, but only one assist in six games for the World Junior Classic, unfortunately. David Spasik, yep, love what he's done, obviously. And I keep saying, love what this guy's done, love what that guy's done, sorry. But I do love what he's done. For Czechia, holy mother of Moses. 3 goals, 5 assists in 6 games, 8 points. This is a defenseman, by the way. Bankier's a forward. Yes, Bankier's a forward. The defensemen have definitely outplayed the forwards. Holy schmuck. Unbelievable. Love what I'm seeing here from this guy. And again, it's another one of those, like they talked about on the Soda Pod, at very least they could be trade chips if they're not like, because you can't keep everybody, you know, not everybody's going to make the National Hockey League. But off to a great start. Petrovsky from Slovakia, right? Yep, he's the one that's actually from Slovakia, not from Czechia. Not as good, but still very productive. 2 goals and an assist in 5 games. I mean, hey, good job. You know, good job. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. But Spacek is the guy. Spacek. That's what I'm saying. I've been saying it wrong the whole time. David Spacek is the guy, though. When it comes to the best player for the Minnesota Wild prospects in the World Junior Classics, it's him. And, oh, my God, I love it. You know, love what he's doing. And he's a stud at the Q level as well, Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. The fact that he's already been playing in North America, that's awesome. So if you're going to keep one of the two, I think that's the guy. But obviously everybody loves Petrovsky as well. He is awesome. Maybe you keep both of them. Petrovsky is a forward, so it's a different position. So I don't know why. Sometimes I thought he's a defenseman. But yeah, he's a forward, he's a center, he's kind of been both. And obviously very solid for the Owen Sound attack. I think Spacek, though, that's a guy I want to keep in this organization, and I can't wait to see what he can do at the next level, at least at the AHL and beyond. I got a feeling he's going to be one of those guys. He's going to do well everywhere he goes, and he's going to have a nice NHL career, maybe even a really good one. I freaking hope so, because it'd be great news for the Minnesota Wild. Normally, I open up with the Iowa Wild. Maybe I'll head there right now. As you look at Michael Milne, the redhead himself, he's now got 4 points, 2 goals, and 1 assist. He added another point this past week. Good for him. Samuel Walker, again, another multi-point game. Obviously, a stud at the AHL level, and a guy that looks like at least an equal at the NHL level, at the very least. Sammy Walker is the best player on the Iowa Wild, bar none. He is the guy. 26 points, 24 games. He makes the Iowa Wild better, there's no doubt. But when he's on Minnesota, I think he makes the Minnesota Wild better. Not as much, but you get the idea. Rossi, again, adding another point. He's now at 13 in 13 games, 4 goals, 9 assists. So at least he's point of game level. Obviously outplaying most of the other guys. He's the second best player other than Joe Hicketts and Fogarty, guys like that, that have been good. And okay, to be fair, Nicholas Batan's been wonderful. But, you know, he's one of those quad A guys. Great at the AHL level, but, you know, struggled at the major league level his whole life, unfortunately. Sweeney's finally back playing again. Oh, Nick Sweeney lives. He's now got 6 goals and 2 assists in 8 total points in 17 games. Finally back. He's played in a couple games, and he's had a point or two here. So good for him. Damien Giroux's actually been stepping up a teeny bit, finally getting to the double digits now. 2 goals, 8 assists at this stage. So there's still a chance for Damien Giroux. He's 22. Obviously, less than a point a game. He's a center. You know, it's going to be a tough, tough road, unfortunately. Damon Hunt with 1 goal, 5 assists. Where am I looking at? Ryan O'Rourke, 5 assists on the season in 29 games. Wallstedt had a really good game recently, giving up only 1 goal, so a very solid performance. His save percentage is just under 90 now. It's 8.99, so good for him. Actually better than McIntyre, and his goals against is higher as well. 6-7 on the season, unfortunately. But, yeah, Jesper Wallstedt, if I'm saying it, because I was saying it incorrectly, I apologize. He's off to a good start to this year, or the last week or so. He's taken a step forward, so all major respect to him. Simon Johansson, also 1 goal, 6 assists in 29 games for the Iowa Wild. Hunter Jones, let's look at the Iowa Heartlanders just for a split second, mostly for him. 3.29 goals against average. He's 1-7 on the season. Save percentage 88.7 in the ECHL. It is what it is. It is what it is. East Coast Hockey League, 3.23 goals against average, like I just said. Iowa Heartlanders have not been good, and I don't know. Hunter Jones was really nice at the AHL level in the short time he was there this year. Last year he struggled. This year it looks like he took a step forward at the AHL level, but I suppose very small sample size to really get too excited about that. Let's see. Hunter Haight. Everybody loves what Hunter Haight can do. Yep, there he goes. Saginaw Spirit now 7 goals, 11 assists in 18 games. He's been phenomenal for Saginaw. Already doubled his point total in 20 games of the Barrie Colts. Sick stuff. So good for Hunter Haight. Just a better mix, eh? Rager Lorenz with the University of Denver, still at 4 points in 18 games for him. Continue. And of course, again, well, what do you expect? It's been Christmas slash winter slash New Year, whatever break for them. Ryan Healy. Yep, he's missed. He definitely missed some games for Harvard this year, only 13, 1 goal, 5 assists, and he is a defenseman, right-shot defenseman for Harvard. I know, I like to have fun with that. We already talked about Spachik and Petovsky. Love what those guys do, but Spachik, I think, is... Spachik might be the SOD for the Minnesota Wild, but then again, there's a lot of guys in this past draft. Hunter Haight is exciting. You know, Hunter Haight, yeah, I love it. You hope Ugrin and Yurov are both legitimate. But Spachik, I got it, man. You can just see it coming, can't you? I hope it isn't just smoke and mirrors. And here comes the AHL, and it's like 5 points in 30 games. It's like, ah, damn. You know, I hope it doesn't wind up that way. Of course, again, the juniors and college pretty much, you know, they haven't been playing too much lately. Carson Lambos with a big old mullet now. 27 games, 21 points. Still kind of struggling. He's, I don't know. I guess that's what they say. He's more of like a second pair defenseman maybe at the NHL level, where some of us were hoping he could be a top pair type of guy. Well, I mean, 26 pick in the draft, though, so it's not like he was the fifth pick in the draft. If you get a top four defenseman rather than a top two defenseman in like the top five, you have a right to be like ticked off a little bit. But I don't know. It's the later rounds, and you know, there's only six spots anyway. And you could make top four in any team. There's, you know, it's still a worthy draft pick, even late in the first round. So hockey is it's tough. You know, you take a bunch of players, and some of them, a lot of them wind up playing overseas or AHL or ECHL, God forbid. And I feel bad. I don't want to trash on the ECHL, but it's just kind of unfortunate what it is. You know, it's kind of like a hockey purgatory because it's double A basically. In baseball, people develop from like A, double A, you know, like rookie, double A, maybe depending on how quick they develop and how highly thought of they are in the organization, like a Joe Mauer or something. From rookie, maybe to double A to triple A. Others go from, you know, well, rookie to A, double A, a little slower. Hockey just isn't that way, where they start off ECHL and AHL. Maybe way back they did, but like, I don't know, it kind of is what it is, so. Maybe Milne might wind up in the ECHL, and maybe he takes a step or so forward and then comes back to the AHL. I could see something like that happening, and maybe that could make Iowa a little better, too, because I bet he would do well there. So it kind of is what it is. Now that I've babbled even more, already talking about Pert, Kyle Masters, 35 points in 33 games, and he is a defenseman. And like I always talk about, massive step forward offensively this year. Massive. From 14 to 35 in half the games, 29 assists. And he's even got double the goals from 3 to 6. Cool. Love what he's done. Yeah, I keep saying that. Sorry, that's probably getting boring to hear. Saskatoon Blades. Josh Pillar has only played in 12 games this year, but at least he's got a point a game. Good for him, but again, missing time, unfortunately. Nate Benvaugh with 11 points in 27 games. But he's a minus 16, so. Sorry. 45 games for Merit Kuznetsov. At least I'm saying that correctly. 9 goals, 18 assists, 27 total points, and he's a plus 9 on the year. Cool. So his plus minus keeps going up. And that should do it for now. That should do it for now, looking at the prospects. So always like looking at the guys and getting your hopes up about certain people. Spashek is, you know, he's the prospect of the, you know, he is the most exciting prospect, I think, right now, at least in the World Junior Classics. What a stud. You know, what a stud. Love what he's done. I said it again. I really appreciate. I bet you're so sick of me. I apologize. But really excited about what he can do. I think he's got a chance to be something. And I don't need to say love what he's done over and over about everybody. So I apologize right here, right now. I sound like a total idiot. It's like a habit. So it's like a habit, like saying, you know, you know, you know, after every sentence. So especially when you're thinking about prospects, you want to be optimistic. But a guy like Spashek, I am very sincere when I say I love what he's done and his projection and all that. There is something there. Very exciting. Very exciting. And of course, the NHL blood is in his veins, coming from Columbus, from the Blue Jackets. And I remember the name very well. So that should wrap up this segment. Let's get to the big, epic, massive lightning round-laden fan interaction segment coming up right here, right now. Back here for fan interaction segment number 3. Are you ready for some lightning rounds? Well, kaboom, let's start some lightning started here. At Brave the Wild is the Twitter account, and of course when you want to have a question, comment, whatever the heck it is, hashtag BTWI, man. That way everything can be organized and it's just easier to do the show and you're more likely to have your comment question read. Tom Hayen Lightning Round has returned. Welcome back, Tom Hayen. Welcome back, Tom Hayen. And there will be another Derek Pelska Lightning Round. Love hearing from Tom Hayen. Really appreciate you. And I pressed the wrong button. Great. Anyhow, yeah, this is actually totally fine. Tom Hayen says, and of course he is local in Minnesota, passionate hockey fan, St. Cloud State University, alum though. Okay, I respect that. I apologize. I'm not going to get myself in trouble here. Can anyone with the Minnesota Wild organization please make it stop snowing? That would be nice. That is a good question. And yeah, well, the sun is there. Maybe Bill Guerin said, hey, no, said something like, hey, stop snowing. You know, start swearing. I don't want to drop too many F-bombs on this show. So, hey, that. We're here to play hockey, and we can't play hockey when it's snowing and there's too much snow on the rink outside. Yeah, because the rinks are beautiful here in Golden Valley, believe it or not. Some years, not so much. I think they're doing a great job, though. Right up the street here, Olympia Hampshire Park. Oh, I love that. Love that cute little park. Brian Herrera says, no more snow. Get it all out of the way now instead of March and April. Agreed. Yeah, because by then it's time for spring. Right now I'm looking at a very beautiful blue sky. I wish I could take a picture, but with the screen on the window, it's going to look like crud. So maybe not a good idea. Well, what the heck? Yeah, I took a picture. It's not going to probably go on Joey's Weather Spy photos, though. But having that beautiful blue sky now mixed in with the snow, the candy coating all over everything, looks like frosting on a cinnamon roll or something. Anyhow, but yeah, there's an appeal to it, but at the same time, there's frustration. And this was the first time I did maybe the second time I officially did the bat signal. I hope it doesn't look like I'm plagiarizing Derek. I hope not, but Derek's still a very major part of the show. And yep, and eventually, not too long from now, he'll have a major announcement to say. I'm just giving a little hint. I hope he doesn't mind me saying that. I was saying, does the new year bring in a Minnesota Wild question to the mind? Ask Brave the Wild and tag it, hashtag BTWMN, and ask as many questions as you'd like. And of course, I've mentioned a lot of the familiar names, including Derek now included there again. So apologize if it looks like I'm plagiarizing, but I mean, sometimes it's the biggest compliment ever when someone does that. And it's not meant as plagiarizing, I swear, I promise. So I apologize if it looks like I am. But you know what I mean? He did, you know, really appreciate what Derek does always, and the questions, and obviously he'll be on the show again, and I'll leave it at that. There'll be some more information coming up at some point about something. Anyhow, Tom Hayen Lightning Round has begun. Ryan Rossi appears destined to be, pardon me, appears destined for the rest of the season in Corntown. That would be Iowa, yep. Save for some injuries with the big club. What's he got to square away to be with the big club next year? Again, like more consistency, obviously more of a want to. It seems like that's what Bill Guerin's been frustrated with. It's almost like he's just not entitled, but something else. Like it's just kind of not really like kind of like now he's not been a go getter really per se. Like say Walker. Walker's a go getter. He's also 3 years older, so he's probably a little hungrier. Like okay, let's go. Where Rossi, you know, for quite a while, he's been very highly touted. Obviously, I'm sure Rossi, you know, there is a go get him there. But maybe it's a lack of confidence at the major level yet. So that's pretty much what it is. And a little more, you know, obviously some consistency in production. But Rossi won't score points if he's not, you know, being on the attack more often than he's been. It's like kind of too conservative to start off his National Hockey League career. At least he's scoring points in the AHL. Next, yeah, but no, awesome there. Brian Herrera says, no real question this week, but one. What game would you choose to play for the rest of your life if you could only get one and no sequels of it included? Ooh. Spy Hunter for the Nintendo. No. Great game, and that's another hint of to something coming up for a video game flashback after Zelda. Yeah, it's the next game. It's the next game after Zelda. I'm giving myself a break because... Oh, Zelda, like I said, it's big. It's really big, and it's, you know, as fun as it is, it's a little tiring, so it'll be nice to do a little easier game after that. Ugh, Tyreek Hill and his frickin' peace sign. At least you don't see too much of that in hockey, but I don't. At every sports level, though, guys are a little cocky. Yeah, it gets old, hot dogging and all that. Game for the rest of my life. Because I swear, any game could get old. That's the problem. Let me think. There are certain games that I play almost any time. Like Mickey Mouse Capade, I like to play, but of course that would get old. That was a game and video game flashback. Oh my God. Secret of Evermore is way up there for the NES I play, or Super Nintendo. That's going to be, I'll do a review on that one not too long from now, I'm thinking. That game has been underrated forever and ever. Holy crap. Nothing's coming to mind at this second. Oh my God. One single game? That'd be really tough. Final Fantasy Adventure. Yeah, that's a game. I gotta review that. God, I'm in love with that game. Zelda 2, Zelda 1. One game the rest of my life. Final Fantasy 4. See, it's like anything would get old. That's the problem. It probably has to be some kind of an action type of game. Like a Mario 1, a Mario 3. But even that would get old if you could only play one. Otherwise, there's games like Centipede, you know, like going way back in the day, classics like Centipede, Millipede. You know, you'd only play it for a little bit and then kind of chill. I'm having a hard time. I'll come back to that. I hope I can remember here. I apologize. That is a really tough and really good question. Steve Snyder, hopefully something clicks in my head and I say it real quick. So, Steve Snyder says, it will be moving days and weeks leading up to the playoffs. What teams will get healthy and move up in the standings and who will fail? Can Dallas hold on to the top spot? Where the heck did Tage Thompson come from? Yeah, whew, and he's one of the reasons why Buffalo is so good. Amazing season to this point. Yeah, you nailed that. And I think Tage and the Buffalo Sabres are going to beat us, unfortunately. Who will move up? Who will move down? All that kind of stuff. I kind of like that. I hate saying this. I do think Dallas hangs on right now. They're pretty complete. And maybe I'll be way off, but I do think they hang on and win the division, unfortunately. Hopefully Colorado is just kind of like a down year because they just won the cup. I hope so. I don't want to see them. I want to say that Calgary's going to move up. Now Winnipeg's on a 3-game win streak. Boston absolutely stays where they are. They're absolutely great. It's about time the Boston Bruins won another Stanley Cup. It is. Like a couple years ago, they were the best team in the league, and they got interrupted by COVID, and then they got knocked out in the playoffs because obviously they missed, you know, all that time, all the momentum they had. It's just depressing. Who will move up? Who will move down? Buffalo, I think, is going to keep moving up. I think Buffalo makes the playoffs. Detroit's, unfortunately, probably a year or two away, so it's not too surprising they move down. New Jersey's been kind of dropping off a bit, but they're 3-6-1 in their last X amount of teams. Carolina's a Stanley Cup contender. I think they are one or two in the East. I think Washington moves down. They've been playing great lately, but I think Buffalo and Washington flip-flop. Dallas stays where they are. Vegas is all over the place with the injuries, but hey, they're still number one in the West. Good for them. I think the Kings maybe move down a little bit for possibly a Colorado, but who's going to miss between Seattle, Calgary, Edmonton, Minnesota, Winnipeg? Who would miss for Colorado to come up and take over? Because I think St. Louis, Nashville, so on and so forth, I don't think any of them make the playoffs. I don't think St. Louis makes the playoffs this year. They're not good. Colorado is going to make the playoffs. So somebody else is going to have to miss. It's probably not Winnipeg. Probably not. Maybe the Kings. They're actually a -5. They're the Minnesota Vikings of the Western Conference right now. Number three in the West, just like the Vikings are number three in the NFC right now, and a minus point differential. Even the Wild are a +18, which is fourth in the West, which isn't bad. Dallas is number one with 30. Winnipeg's number two. Yeah, they're not missing. Colorado. God, sorry I'm dragging this out. See, this is where I screw up and mess up the show is by babbling so much. I think Edmonton misses. They're kind of inconsistent. So Colorado, Edmonton, flip-flop. Calgary, I think, makes it by the skin of their teeth, 6th, 7th seed. And they should be top three. Maybe Calgary actually replaces the LA Kings as the year progresses in the top three. There's so much talent on the Flames. There is just no excuse. So maybe LA is like 7th or so. 6th, 7th, 8th. you know, maybe eighth. LA is eighth. Calgary and Colorado are way up there, you know, 3, 4, 5 range. That's what I think. So, yep, there, now that I've made it so long, and I apologize. Good question, though. I think I like that kind of stuff. And Tage Thompson, yes, Buffalo makes the playoffs in the East. Who did I have missing, though, in the East? See, now I'm backtracking again. Who misses in the East? Washington. Yeah, Washington misses in the East. I think New Jersey does make it. I think they've made enough steps forward. Rangers have to make it. And I think the Isles make it, but, you know, right where they are, about 8th, 7th or 8th. And I think Buffalo is 7th or 8th. And Washington is oot. I think Pittsburgh's out, too, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, the only team, well, maybe Pittsburgh knocks out the Islanders, but they're not going to do much in the playoffs. Buffalo makes it, though. Absolutely. They're plus 21. Buffalo's good, man. They're good. And yes, like you said, Tage Thompson, awesome season. Awesome. I love it. I love seeing Buffalo do well. Tom Hayen, lightning round, is in the his house. This is official this time. Walker, that would be Sammy, yep, started his journey to the National Hockey League playing for the machine at Minnesota made. Is it safe to say that the machine is a superior product to the Minnesota Blades? Huh. Oh, the machine. Okay, I see what you mean. Is it safe to say that the machine is a superior product to the Minnesota Blades? I think so. I think so. Yep. Yep. The next one would be, what would cause a larger meltdown on Minnesota Wild Twitter? Dumba getting an extension or Walls being named permanent color man? Dumba getting an extension. Dumba getting an extension. And it's nothing against him. It's just, it'd be like, seriously, are you kidding me? Especially with all the defensemen in the system. I don't hate Walls, really. I think he's okay. I know it probably gets old hearing about the eye test. I don't dislike Walls as much as some people. But, and that, you can always turn the volume down if you don't want to hear him. You know, it's been Anthony LaPenta. Oh, you know, he scores, you know. He's got a good voice, but he's not the, I don't know, something about him can bug the average person, I'm saying, or even the above average person. Yep, Dumba getting an extension, because I think that would be, you know, it's like, seriously, are you kidding? Looks like there was a response below, so let's see. Emin Johan said, I'd hope Dumba extension since I actually like Wes as the color guy. Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way, too. I kind of like him as well. Derek says, I can't agree with you there. That would be maybe the West part, right? I'm guessing he means that. Doesn't like West, but probably wouldn't want... I don't think Derek wants Dumba back either, but maybe I shouldn't speak for him. But at least from what I know, I mean, Dumba's not that great. He's not. His defense isn't good, and he's not providing offense either. Just once in a blue moon, oh, he finally scored! Woo! Next, Tom Hayen, lightning round continues, hypothetically typing... Bill Guerin has the opportunity to bring in a legit top six, that's my fault, center, before the deadline. The money can all be worked out, and it wouldn't be a rental. But he has to give up either Spurgeon or Brodin. Who does he part with? Oh, boy. And after all the nice things I said about Brodin last week, he's having probably his worst season in forever. And Spurgeon, you know, I mean, he's heading in the right direction more so. Probably Brodin. And I must sound crazy saying that. It would suck to give up one of those two to get a top six center. But then again, if it's a legit, like you're saying, probably Brodin. And then hope and pray to God that Brock Faber is ready to go. And then you figure out the other side of things where Brock Faber's a right shot, Brodin's a left, and I don't know. Surely you can figure something out, but Brodin is definitely having a down season, so I would go with him, which might sound crazy to some. And again, after all the praises I sang about Brodin last week, he has taken a step back. Tom Hayden continues, says, for the Minnesota Wild fan base, would it be worse for the Snowflakes to win the Cup this year or the Nightlights? Which one is that? Snowflakes, is that the Avalanche, right? Who are the Knights? Oh, the Golden Knights? That's probably the Golden Knights, right? Much worse to see the Avalanche. I'll take the Golden Knights 10 out of 10 times. And, yep, so you're... for that one, it's not much a debate for me. The Avalanche again? No. I'll take the Golden Knights to win. I would much rather see them win the Stanley Cup than the Snowflakes again. Tired of the Snowflakes, if you do mean the Avalanche. I think you do. and the Golden Knights. Yeah, because Tom Hayden likes to have funny nicknames for things. Nicknames are fun. I like when people do that. I'll take Golden Knights, 10 out of 10. Derek Felska begins his lightning round and says, should the Minnesota Wild try to pick up Jacob Vrana, a speedy winger with finishing ability off waivers, if we have a chance with the non-hockey issues? Does it sound too much like a Devin Setoguchi situation? Maybe, unfortunately, and apparently again, according to Rome, he says, Rome JG says he already cleared waivers. And then Derek says, too bad. Yep. Who's Derek? Oh, okay, it continues. So when Derek disagreed about the Walls thing, Walls Dumba thing, mostly Walls, KF Van Girl says, in the state of hockey, how we can't do better than Walls and Fallness is beyond me. LaPanta is amazing, however. I don't think Derek likes that one. Derek says, I'm LaPanta hard, no. And KFan Girl responds with, really? I think he's good. Also enjoy him and Russo's podcast. I can understand the. Kalatsbo says, nobody is lining up to steal LaPanta. Let's put it that way. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a giant LaPanta guy. Didn't they rate like the Minnesota Wild's TV crew like as the weakest pretty much? So it's kind of true, unfortunately. Walls doesn't bother me that much. LaPanta, I'm not a huge fan either. I don't hate him, but I'm not a huge fan. Vrana apparently, he was picked up off of waivers, and Setoguchi was a huge bust. God, he had talent though. Derek continues, Sammy Walker returned to Iowa and had a goal and an assist. Yep, just like that in his first game back, and has earned major kudos from the coaching staffs in Minnesota and Iowa for his assertiveness. What current Minnesota Wild might he replace? Well, it's probably Ryan Hartman or Steele, I think. Otherwise, if Shaw continues to struggle, I think Dewar is a step ahead of Shaw. I think so. I think Dewar's like more of a, like, he's more likely to stick around than Shaw. It is what it is. And then Shaw's injury history, I don't know, maybe he would have been a better player if not for that. Because, you know, that kind of thing might shorten his career. Like, 3 ACLs is pretty serious stuff. Oh, shucks. Almost hit the wrong button there. So, it's probably, gun to my head, just looking at the current roster and everything, Hartman, yep. I mean, it could be Hartman eventually. Steele, no, probably. They're probably going to keep him for now. It's between Hartman and Shaw. I'll probably say Mason Shaw at the moment, which it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. If Hartman's better, Hartman's better. Foligno's been disappointing this year. I can't tell you he hasn't been. And then Reeves, if he wasn't so valuable as he's been and the team didn't take off the way they did when Reeves got here, I would have said Ryan Reeves for sure, because if he was just kind of mediocre, he's not an offensive player, obviously, but he does have value to this team. Otherwise, it could be a Shaw Reeves, Ryan Hartman, Walker thing, kind of guys kind of moving around. Maybe sometimes this one's in, this one's out, that kind of thing, where three play, one doesn't, that kind of thing. It could end up being something like that. And obviously injuries, this and that, but if it's one player, gun to my head, it's Mason Shaw, now that I've babbled enough. Nice thought-provoking question there, absolutely. Derek says, rate the Minnesota Wilds play-by-play man from worst to best. Mike Goldberg, Matt McConnell. I don't remember Matt McConnell, I don't know why. Dan Terhar and Anthony LaPanta. Goldberg is number one. Terhar and LaPanta? Terhar was adequate. I don't remember Matt McConnell. I don't know why. Was he short term? Oh, God. Mike Goldberg's number one, though. Even though he was a little bit quirky, he was kind of crazy and quirky, but he was really good. He was really good. General Soreness is incredibly low bar. Fudge knuckers. Oh, God. Yeah, why don't I remember Matt McConnell? I feel weird. I definitely remember Terhar. He was there for a while. And he was during that mediocre era of the Wild. LaPanta came conveniently right when Parisi and Suter signed and the Wild got better. And we were in the playoffs every year again. Tierhart was kind of cursed, poor guy. He took over right when the Wild ran that in-between era. Of course, we did make the playoffs a couple times, but didn't do jack. Even when we won the division championship, we still lost to the Colorado Avalanche, and then really went into the doldrums of nothingness land. And oft-injured Gabrick and Dimitra was hurt all the time and then left right away, and blah, blah, blah for the Canucks, and did way better there, that figures. I don't know. I don't think LaPanta's like the worst announcer. I just think he's kind of an arrogant guy, you know. I just think he's arrogant. I don't think he's a bad announcer, just arrogant, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't like arrogant people. I don't remember McConnell. Shoot, so I'm going to have to kind of slice him out. So out of the three, I don't know why. Maybe I would have liked McConnell, but maybe I'm an idiot. So LaPanta and Tierhart, it's kind of almost like a back and forth. Okay, I'll say Tierhart second, LaPanta worst. Okay, I'll just go with that, because Tierhart was okay, but sometimes LaPanta's better. I don't know, but I just don't like the person very much. Kind of full of himself, you know. Next, Derek says, who is the toughest player in Minnesota Wild history? Probably Marcus Foligno, I have to say. Up to this point, I'd say it's the Moose. Matt Johnson was way up there. Obviously, you still had... you had Boogie. You know, Derek Boogaard, he was unbelievable. I'm going to go with Marcus Foligno, though. I love what he's... he's definitely brought that... leadership and everything, so kind of it's a combination. Derek, lightning round continues. Has the NHL Winter Classic lost its novelty? Do you think the league should consider making it a once every 4 years sort of thing to make it fresh and special again? That might be too much of a stretch. I don't know. Maybe it's lost it a little bit, but not too much. Once every 4 years might be too much of a gap in between. If you wanted to do that, maybe it's like every other year or so. Otherwise, I think it's okay if it's like just once a year. I think that's okay. I think I'd stick with that. That's the way I see it, too. So maybe you'd like it every 4 years. That would... Yeah, maybe. The problem is probably the matchups are kind of weak. They always come up with like something like, yeah, that's the matchup, you know. Or maybe they project like it's going to be a good matchup and then it ends up not working out, you know, something like that. So, and guys being hurt or whatever the heck, and bad weather or bad situation. Derek continues, says, what three players, coaches, or intangibles would make up the Minnesota Wild's Triforce, like Legend of Zelda? Okay, so Gabrick is the top, you know, Gabrick is the Triforce of wisdom or power or whatever. Triforce of wisdom, Jacques Lemaire. Triforce of power and courage, huh? Triforce of courage is Kirill Kaprizov. Triforce of power is... That's fun. I like that. Triforce of wisdom, yeah, Jacques Lemaire. There's no doubt. Because, yeah, obviously, think about what he brought. Power. It could be either one for Kaprizov. Power or courage. And then the other player would be... Triforce of power would be Kirill Kaprizov. Triforce of courage. Jared Spurgeon. Jared Spurgeon. Triforce of courage, Jared Spurgeon. Does that sound good? Is that a fun one? Derek is tweeting somebody. Okay, looks like we already got that one. Yep. Jaromir Jagr scored in the Czech Super League at the age of 50. How much longer do you think he will go? I can't believe that. Age of 50. Maybe that's it. Maybe at age of 50, it's like, okay, I've reached my pinnacle. Now that I've reached 50, I'm guessing we're near the end finally. That's my guess. Okay, so Derek also responded to General Soreness when he said low bar and current for all those guys. Derek says, I completely agree with you there. It's in the $1 DVD bin at the grocery store. I think Goldberg's a little better than the rest of them, though. It might be just because he's a little too quirky and silly that maybe turned people off. Jay Bushy, welcome back, Jay. Love hearing from you. He says, when do you feel Greenway? That might be the other guy, actually, that Walker could replace. Because eventually, this whole grief line thing, it's great. But if Greenway is not more productive and can't stay healthy, that kind of thing, if he's not more productive, then what is he? Like, again, so that's the other thing. Like, two flipping goals all season. Two goals. So that's another thing that I could get kind of in a rant about things as well. So that's the other name I should bring up when the whole thought about who would Walker replace. It might be Greenway. I mean, he's Tyson Jost right now. 21 points, two goals, three assists. He's Tyson Jost. He might be worse. Sheesh. So, I mean, eventually, Jordan Greenway probably, I mean, at $3 million a year, that's a conversation. Don't you think? It's a conversation. Yes, the grief line, the chemistry, this and that, da-da-da-da. But I think Greenway is probably the weakest link out of that, don't you think? Even though Foligno's been down this year, too, but he's more productive than Jordan Greenway. You know, Shaw is more productive, Dewar is more productive, and they play on a lower line. So as much as I've kind of given them a hard time the last couple of weeks, so backtracking there, apologize. Greenway, maybe. Back to Greenway. Sorry, Jay. You got me going there. When do you feel Greenway will start to be more of an assertive power forward and start taking the puck to the net to become a more consistent scoring threat? All I have to say to that is exactly when, right? When. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. It doesn't look like it. Because it's kind of like when will... what's that pitcher? Former pitcher's name with the Twins. Fudge, I forgot his name. Shucks. Well, the guy who was... the other really good pitcher in 2006, you know, there was Johan Santana and I'm blanking on his name at the moment, Francisco Liriano. But then again, it's not even like that. But yeah, when will Francisco Liriano get his head out of somewhere and actually be good again after he had that, he just never seemed to become better. But that's even like probably a terrible comparison because Liriano looked like a superstar before he hurt his elbow. You know, this weird pitching delivery, whatever. But it is kind of like that in a way. Like, Greenway was pretty highly touted coming in, but it always felt like, you know, there's something missing, and it's still missing. It feels like it's missing even more. He jumped up a little bit 2 years ago, and then so much for that kind of thing, right? Derek is sharing another tweet. Yeah, okay, that was the previous one. LaPanta is amazing, however. But no, yep, I appreciate that. Colaspo says, I think Evason is a good coach here in Minnesota, but where do the national people rank him? Top 10 coach or nah? I think he's a top, he's about there, right in, kind of in the middle to upper echelon. I would say he's above average. I'd say he's above average, and he's had a good year. He's been more willing to make adjustments, where last year he didn't. And I guess with the Minnesota Timberwolves, which will be tomorrow's show, Timberwolves Explosion, Chris Finch is the one that's actually been weaker in that department, especially during the playoffs last year where he didn't make any adjustments and the Timberwolves were blowing historic leads, like historic level leads where we should have taken care of business with the Memphis Grizzlies last year. The Timberwolves should have gotten to the second round, there's no doubt. Where Evanston, people could probably say the same thing, the massive frustrations with the St. Louis Blues last year. Like, how do you not win that series? Seriously. Sorry for that. That sounded weird. But great question. I'd say yes, considering he has been more willing to make changes this year versus just kind of saying, stay the course. So I would say yes, top 10, but pretty much 10th, kind of right around there. He's not, you know, top 2 or 3 or anything crazy like that. DeMar Hamlin has shown remarkable improvement. Oh, that's really nice to know. So, of course, that's the player. Again, that's a Purple Mafia type issue. But breaking news, DeMar Hamlin has shown remarkable improvement. So, speaking of Buffalo Bills safety that had the cardiac arrest for the sudden, basically poorly timed hit in the exact spot at the exact time, that kind of thing, that can happen to even a Chris Pronger years ago with a slap shot back to hockey there. Remarkable improvement. So, very happy to hear about DeMar Hamlin there. I had a feeling, you know, when we heard he was hanging on and then you heard about the oxygen level improving, it's like he's probably going to make it. So that's great. Good to hear. So nice thing to wrap up the show with that. And yes, I think he's top 10, maybe anywhere from 5 to 10, I'll say. 5 might be a little high. We'll say 6 to 10. But I like what Dean Evason has done this year. You could argue he's better than last year, even though the team was great last year. But yeah, a lot of things went right last year. With that, that's pretty much, yeah, that's the end of the fan interaction. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate all of you guys. Shout outs to Minnesota Wild Global with Scott Cavendish, Chad Walski, Michael Fick, obviously, Kathy Main, David Abraham, David and Chance Kostick. Really, really appreciate all of you. Great, great page. Of course, again, M&W Prospects, Pavel Bennett out of Chechia. Yep, out of Chechia. Just like our friend Spachik. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly this time, by the way. I haven't heard any complaints, but yeah. So, yeah, really nice news to hear about DeMar Hamlin, by the way. Just had to bring that up, I know. Appears to be neurologically intact. Yeah, because that's a big thing when you have a cardiac arrest. What do you think happened to Neil Nate Dogg Thiessing? Now, he didn't get hit or anything crazy like that, but he had a cardiac arrest, and they didn't get the blood flowing fast enough, and he had brain damage and died. So that's where DeMar Hamlin really connects to this show, is because of Neil Nate Dogg Thiessing. And let's just say I'm partial to heart conversation as well. I'm just going to leave that right where it is. Coming up around February 18th, we'll leave it at that. But yeah, any type of thing you hear about, it goes to my, you know, it really, you know, my antenna really goes up. And Neil, Kurt Back, who listened to this show in the past as well, just an awesome guy, died the same way Neil did. Was it 2 years later? Yeah, 2 years later, 3 years later. Just, you know, so to have it happen twice to two awesome, awesome, awesome guys broke my heart like you wouldn't believe, you know, it really did. So yeah, it's a big deal. So thank God for DeMar Hamlin, you know, that's great news. For the DeMar Hamlin news anyway. And yeah, thank you, Lord. You'll live a long life. Back to the shout outs again. I apologize. Pavel Bennett, Justin Bakke of the Sound of the Foghorn podcast. Justin Bakke, what an awesome guy. You know, I love him. Big shout out to Minnesota, Lockdown Minnesota Wild as well. Seth, really appreciate you. Does a great job. I keep saying too much. I don't want to forget people's names. Brandon Quast, of course. You know, he's part of Minnesota Wild Prospects, M&W Prospects, M&W Young Guns. Just awesome, awesome, awesome. On Twitter and website and everything, Facebook, keeping up with the prospects better than I can. You know, they do a great job. Derek Belska at Crease and Assist does a great job keeping up with that as well. And yeah, like I said, it's got something coming up. It's got something in the hopper coming up, and I keep babbling about it, but I'm, you know, it's a, you know, hey, I'm a supporter of it. So what's another one? Minnesota Wild Nation, Patrick Turner, love you. Really appreciate what you do as well. With that said, I'm going to bid adieu to you now. I better get going here. This has been a slightly longer, but an awesome show. Really appreciate the fan interaction. That was fun. That was fun. Sometimes less of me just babbling about, you know, babbling about this and that. Let you guys kind of bring up topics, and I just kind of go from there. So really appreciate all of you. Thank you. And thank you for the lightning round, Tom Hay and Derek, both of you guys. Colaspo, nice to hear from you there. That was a really cool question. Jay Bushy, awesome question. You know, Brian Herrera, love you. You know, love hearing from you. Great question. Steve Snyder, yep. You guys really are huge pillars to this show, and I can't thank you enough. With that said, please be willing to call into the show if you can. You're with a audio submission. Maybe it's just fine on Twitter, but and maybe one audio submission, two audio submission here and there. It's fine. I mean, hey. It'd be fun. I haven't had one in a long time, and it would open up the fan interaction segment. All you do is open up your smart device. Every smart device has a free voice recording app. Just basically open it, press record, talk for anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes, you know, about anything, you know, questions, comments, rants, raves, this and that. Stop. And when you hit stop, you save it and share it /email it to paladinolive@yahoo.com, paladinolive@yahoo.com. I will then convert it into an MP3 file, thanks to Zumzar with a Z.com, or you can convert files like that to an MP3 file so I can get it on the show. Otherwise, those of you that have written a positive rating, thank you so much. Anybody else that could on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Stitcher, Spotify, thank you for those of you that have. anybody willing to, thank you, please, and thank you. Really appreciate you, like, no tomorrow. Should I look at demographics for, like, 3 seconds here? I really should wrap things up, but I'll look real quick. It's kind of like another shout-out to people out there. Finland. Finland is still second place. Norway, that sounds like Matt Zuccarello. United Kingdom, Canada, Germany. Yep, thank you so much. Even Japan, Thailand. Those are the countries. Super quick here. Regions like states and parts of other countries. Minnesota, number one. Florida, number two. Maybe that's Patrick Turner and others. Thank you so much. You know, so that's really cool. Florida, number two right now. California, number three. Ohio, number four. Wisconsin, number five. Nevada, cool. Iowa, Arkansas. Yep, wow. Arkansas, isn't that cool? Finland, and then Illinois. Those are like regions slash, you know, parts of countries or states. Cities, real quick. Sorry if I'm taking this too long. Come on. Now I'm getting that. Minneapolis, number one. St. Paul, number two. Pinellas Park, number three. Whoa, that's in Florida. Columbus, Ohio. Nice. Reno, Nevada. Concord, California. Springdale, Arkansas. Cool. Hopkins, Minnesota. Maple Grove, Minnesota. Helsinki, Finland. Welcome to Helsinki, right? Thank you so much. Just want to let you know that I appreciate you so much. That's why I wanted to get into that really quick. And again, tell your friends about the show. Those of you that have, thank you so much. Anybody willing to, please do. Otherwise, we'll talk to you next week and go wild.